December 23rd. Our reading in the Old Testament today will be from the book of Zechariah, chapter 4, verse 1. We'll go through chapter 5, verse 11. We'll see that Zechariah ministered to discourage people attempting to accomplish a difficult task. If you find yourself ready to quit, consider the assurances God gives His workers. He provides power. You know, oil is symbolic of God's Holy Spirit, and He alone can give us power to finish His work. Are you depending on Him or on your own strength and your own expertise? God removes obstacles. Yes, unbelief makes mountains out of molehills, but faith in God makes mountains into plains. The leaders faced all kinds of obstacles, but God would open the way for them. God gives promises, we shall see here in Zechariah chapter 4. God finishes what He starts, so we can trust Him even in the midst of opposition that seems insurmountable. The temple project was delayed for many years, but God eventually helped them finish it. And God rejoices over our work. You know, to the eyes of men, the temple project was but a small thing. But to the eyes of God, it was a source of great joy. Do your work to please God, and let Him be the final judge. And as we move into chapter 5 here of Zechariah, we'll read about wickedness condemned. The scroll was 15 feet by 30 feet, so it could easily be seen and read. God condemned the thieves and the liars. These sins are violations of the third and the eighth commandments and are still condemned by God. And we'll read about wickedness confined. In the end times, there will be a concentration of evil at Babylon, the last expression of the evil world system. The word wickedness is feminine in Hebrew, which explains why a woman was used as the illustration. And with that, we begin now our reading today in the Old Testament. December 23rd, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1, through chapter 5, verse 11. Then the angel who had been talking with me, Zechariah, returned and woke me, as though I had been asleep. "What do you see now?" he asked. I answered, "I see a solid gold lampstand, with a bowl of oil on top of it. Around the bowl are seven lamps, each one having seven spouts with wicks. And I see two olive trees, one on each side of the bowl." Then I ask the angel, "What are these, my lord? What do they mean?" "Don't you know?" the angel asked. "No, my lord," I replied. Then he said to me, "This is what the Lord says to Zerubbabel. It is not by force nor by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Nothing, not even a mighty mountain, will stand in Zerubbabel's way. It will flatten out before him. Then Zerubbabel will set the final stone of the temple in place, and the people will shout, 'May God bless it! May God bless it!'" Then another message came to me from the Lord. "Zerubbabel is the one who laid the foundation of this temple, and he will complete it. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. For these seven lamps represent the eyes of the Lord that search all around the world." Then I asked the angel, "What are these two olive trees on each side of the lampstand? And what are the two olive branches that pour out golden oil through two gold tubes?" "Don't you know?" he asked. "No, my lord," I replied. Then he said to me, "They represent the two anointed ones who assist the Lord of all the earth." I looked up again and saw a scroll flying through the air. "What do you see?" the angel asked. "I see a flying scroll," I replied. It appears to be about 30 feet long and 15 feet wide. Then he said to me, "This scroll contains the curse that is going out over the entire land. One side says that those who steal will be banished from the land. The other side says that those who swear falsely will be banished from the land. And this is what the Lord Almighty says. I am sending this curse into the house of every thief and into the house of everyone who swears falsely by my name. And my curse will remain in that house until it is completely destroyed, even its timbers and stones." Then the angel who was talking with me came forward and said, "Look up. Something is appearing in the sky." "What is it?" I asked. He replied, "It is a basket for measuring grain, and it is filled with the sins of everyone throughout the land." When the heavy lead cover was lifted off the basket, there was a woman sitting inside it. The angel said, "The woman's name is Wickedness." And he pushed her back into the basket and closed the heavy lid again. Then I looked up and saw two women flying toward us, with wings gliding on the wind. Their wings were like those of a stork, and they picked up the basket and flew with it into the sky. "Where are they taking the basket?" I asked the angel. He replied, "To the land of Babylonia, where they will build a temple for the basket, and when the temple is ready, they will set the basket there on its pedestal." December 23rd. And now, as we turn our attention to the reading of the New Testament, our narrative today will come from the book of Revelation, chapter 14, verses 1 through 20. We'll see that John used agricultural images to tell us that the time was ripe for judgment. There are first fruits. God takes the best for himself before the harvest begins. We meet the 144,000 in chapter 7, God's sealed servants who come through the tribulation and sing the praises of the Lamb. The description in verse 4 should be taken in a spiritual sense. They did not commit fornication by worshiping the beast or his image. We'll read about wine. The cup of wrath is an image borrowed from Jeremiah chapter 25. God pours out his wrath on those who follow the beast and reject God's truth. Although verse 13 may be applied to all believers who die, it will have special meaning to the martyrs of that evil day. And we'll read about reaping here in Revelation chapter 14. God is allowing the seeds of sin to grow and produce a harvest. Yes, God is allowing that. One day, the world will reap what it has sown. Well, John also uses the grape harvest to illustrate the coming judgment. The vine of the earth, so to speak, is ripening, and one day God will apply the sickle. Meanwhile, the branches in the true vine should be bearing more and more fruit. And now, let's begin today's reading in the New Testament. December 23rd, Revelation chapter 14, verses 1 through 20. "Then I, John, saw the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him were 144,000 who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a great waterfall, or the rolling of mighty thunder. It was like the sound of many harpists playing together. This great choir sang a wonderful new song in front of the throne of God, and before the four living beings and the 24 elders. And no one could learn this song except those 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. For they are spiritually undefiled, pure as virgins, following the Lamb wherever he goes. They have been purchased from among the people on the earth as a special offering to God and to the Lamb. No falsehood can be charged against them. They are blameless. And I saw another angel flying through the heavens, carrying the everlasting good news to preach to the people who belong to this world, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. Fear God, he shouted. Give glory to him, for the time has come when he will sit as judge. Worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all the springs of water. Then a third angel followed them, shouting, Anyone who worships the beast and his statue, or who accepts his mark on the forehead or the hand, must drink the wine of God's wrath. It is poured out, undiluted, into God's cup of wrath. And they will be tormented with fire and burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb. The smoke of their torment rises forever and ever, and they will have no relief day or night, for they have worshipped the beast and his statue, and have accepted the mark of his name. Let this encourage God's holy people to endure persecution patiently, and remain firm to the end, obeying his commands and trusting in Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, Write this down. Blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they are blessed indeed, for they will rest from all their toils and trials, for their good deeds follow them. Then I saw the Son of Man sitting on a white cloud. He had a gold crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Then an angel came from the temple and called out in a loud voice to the one sitting on the cloud, Use the sickle, for the time has come for you to harvest. The crop is ripe on the earth. So the one sitting on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the whole earth was harvested. After that, another angel came from the temple in heaven, and he also had a sharp sickle. Then another angel, who has power to destroy the world with fire, shouted to the angel with the sickle, Use your sickle now to gather the clusters of grapes from the vines of the earth, for they are fully ripe for judgment. So the angel swung his sickle on the earth and loaded the grapes into the great winepress of God's wrath. And the grapes were trodden in the winepress outside the city, and blood flowed from the winepress in a stream about 180 miles long and as high as a horse's bridle. Psalm 142, verses 1 through 7. It's another of David's cave psalms, and is filled with assurances that you can claim when you find yourself in a difficult place. God hears your prayers. There are times when prayer is worship, and there are times when prayer is warfare. Now in the heat of the battle, pour out your heart to the Lord and tell him how you feel and what you need. Turn the cave into a holy of holies. God knows your path. David walked in God's will, but the enemy lied about him and set traps to catch him. Walk with the Lord a step at a time, and he will see you through. And God feels your pain. We'll read about that. David felt completely abandoned, but he knew the Lord was with him. When you feel like nobody cares, remember that he cares for you. God is your portion. If you have God, what more do you need? One with God is a majority. So be wholly satisfied with him, and God will be praised. Now, it may not look like it now, but one day your trials will turn out for your good and God's glory. So start praising him now by faith, and you'll be tuned up when the answer comes. Psalm 142, verses 1 through 7, a psalm of David regarding his experience in the cave, a prayer. I cry out to the Lord. I plead for the Lord's mercy. I pour out my complaints before him and tell him all my troubles, for I am overwhelmed, and you alone know the way I should turn. Wherever I go, my enemies have set traps for me. I look for someone to come and help me, but no one gives me a passing thought. No one will help me. No one cares a bit what happens to me. Then I pray to you, O Lord. I say, you are my place of refuge. You are all I really want in life. Hear my cry, for I'm very low. Rescue me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring me out of prison so I can thank you. The godly will crowd around me, for you treat me kindly. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 21 through 23. There are three things that make the earth tremble. No, four it cannot endure. A slave who becomes a king. An overbearing fool who prospers. A bitter woman who finally gets a husband. A servant girl who supplants her mistress.